Dear brethren, this is my 15th audio sharing during this pandemic. Today I intend to continue sharing with you on the theme Kingdom Building and Spiritual Warfare, the third message. We have seen your kingdom come as part of the core center of prayer and aspiration of all who love God and are committed to Him, the advancement of God's kingdom. We have considered the biblical theological perspective of spiritual warfare and its relationship with the advancement of God's kingdom. The advancement of God's kingdom involves spiritual warfare, and it is vital for God's children to know how to fight the good fight of faith. I have briefly considered with you some areas of attack, including our faculties, our body, mind, emotion, will, spirit. All these can be attacked, and how the forces of darkness attack the weakness of the flesh through temptations, pleasures in the fallen world, and even the cause of fulfilling legitimate responsibilities in the affairs of this life. We can become distracted and hindered from walking well with God and doing what the Lord desires of us. We need to be alert and discerning, recognizing the wiles of the forces of darkness, and know how to take our stand and counter them. Today I wish to continue with how we ought to respond and how we can fare well in our walk with the Lord and participate effectively in the advancement of God's kingdom in the context of spiritual warfare. In this concluding message on the subject kingdom building and spiritual warfare, I will highlight and summarize some related points to bear in mind. I'm not going into details on the subject of spiritual warfare here. I'm not attempting to cover the whole subject of spiritual warfare. For a fuller treatment of the subject, please refer to the messages on overcoming the evil one and the powers of darkness, AR202 to AR217. This is a subsection of Reflections on the Death of Christ in the message series, Appearance and Reality. It is one important aspect of the significance of the cross. The cross enables us to overcome the forces of darkness on the basis of what the Lord Jesus accomplished through His death on the cross. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you be pleased to be with us, that you have the freedom to speak to us, that you protect us and keep us from the evil one and the forces of darkness, and enable the effective communication and reception of the truth. We ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. The first point, your kingdom come, is the dynamic kingdom of God's kingdom, an integral part of God's salvation plan and the fulfillment of God's purposes. God's kingdom is advancing, and this is part of God's salvation plan and the fulfillment of His purposes. The second point, it is God's will His kingdom continues to grow in quality, power, and glory until the second coming of Christ. This is the will of God, that His kingdom continues to advance and to grow in quality, power, and glory until the second coming of Christ. And not only that, we as His children have a significant part in it. This brings me to the third point. A major aspect is the expression of God's children increasingly submitting themselves to God's reign in their lives, manifesting God's power, wisdom, and glory in the context of overcoming the forces of darkness. This is a major aspect of how the kingdom of God advances. As God's children increasingly submit themselves to God's reign in their lives and manifesting God's power, wisdom, and glory. Now this takes place in the context of opposition from the forces of darkness, And so it takes place in the context of overcoming the forces of darkness. The fourth point, it includes conversion of non-believers. That is the advancement of God's kingdom. It includes conversion of non-believers being delivered from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of light. And also believers living overcoming lives on the basis of the victory of the cross. In the context of which there needs to be increasing submission to God's reign in our lives. And as we do so, there will be increasing manifestation of God's power, wisdom, and glory. This takes place in the context of believers functioning according to God's revelation and power. This is critical. We want God's kingdom to advance and the manifestation of God's power, wisdom, and glory and overcoming the forces of darkness. Then believers must learn to function, to live, as well as to work out church life according to God's revelation and also according to God's power and guidance. This takes place in the expression of body life, prayer, fellowship, and mutual upbuilding. Each one growing unto maturity and learning how to fight the good fight of faith. The fifth point, the enemy forces are actively at work all the time. In all kinds of situations, we need to bear this in mind. They're actively at work all the time in all kinds of situations, and we need to learn to be discerning, to see their working and also learn to counter them in the way God desires of us. We must learn from the Lord how God wants us to go about overcoming the works of the forces of darkness. Point number six. If we do so, we are learning how to overcome them. Then we will keep growing in moral and spiritual stature. That is, in the context of overcoming the forces of darkness, in the context of spiritual warfare, and even in the midst of the difficulties that we encounter as a result of the attacks of the forces of darkness, we will keep growing in moral and spiritual stature, even as we learn more about the realities in the spiritual realm and learn to deal with the negative aspects and deficiencies in our lives, and also nurture the positive qualities and growing in spiritual strength and stamina. As we learn to fight the good fight of faith, we learn to put into practice what we have been learning from the Lord, from what He has revealed in the scriptures. We learn more about God, how God works. We learn more about the forces of darkness and the realities in the spiritual realm, and the power of prayer, how to counter the forces of darkness effectively. At the same time, we know the need to deal with, and we learn to deal with the negative features in our lives, the deficiencies in our lives. This is needful if we want to grow well and also to overcome the forces of darkness. Together with that, we are also nurturing the positive qualities of inner man, and we will grow in spiritual strength and stamina. The seventh point, to live well, it is important to know our situation, our context. To know the God we believe in and His provisions for our lives. Notice all these various points I'm highlighting to you. They are all interrelated. They overlap. So we want to live well. Very important is knowledge. Knowledge of the situation. Knowledge of God. Knowledge of what He has provided for us. But it is not mental recognition, understanding. It must go beyond the mental. It must involve spiritual insight and experiential knowledge. Increasing knowledge of God. In our knowledge of who God is and our relationship with Him and our experiential knowledge of what God has provided. Also, knowing our enemy and his wiles. Again, not just mental knowledge, but in the context of spiritual warfare. We learn more about the enemy, how he works, and also how to counter them. It is important not to be ignorant of the wiles of the evil one, so that we will not be taken advantage of because of our ignorance in his attacks on us. This is what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 11. Not to be ignorant of the attacks of the evil one, so that he will not be able to take advantage of our ignorance. Point number 8. On the one hand, do not over-anticipate, be over-imaginative of spiritual attacks, and over-attribute what is taking place to attacks, to the attacks of the forces of darkness. As we become more conscious that the forces of darkness are actively at work, they can attack all areas of our lives and every aspect of our being. If we are not careful, we can over-anticipate the attacks, over-imaginative of spiritual attacks when actually it is not an attack. And we over-attribute all kinds of things that are taking place to the attacks of the forces of darkness. This is not helpful. And also, if we over-anticipate, over-attribute what is taking place with the forces of darkness, over-imaginative or spiritual attacks taking place when it is not so, the evil one can actually exploit this kind of frame of mind. And we can become even more vulnerable to the attacks of the forces of darkness, and we can become unnecessarily fearful and anxious. On the other hand, we need to be alert and discerning. So we need to be alert and learn to discern the actual attacks of the forces of darkness. And we are not so clear. Yes, victory is not so clear. But with passing time, it can become increasingly clear to us how the evil one attacks, and become clearer in the way we discern whether attacks are taking place, to what degree, in what form. Point number 9, we must not try to avoid spiritual attacks that come upon us because of faithfulness to God, and as a result, fail to live and do as God desires of us. This is not uncommon. After becoming more conscious of spiritual attacks, believers may sometimes be fearful. If they do certain things, likelihood the spiritual attacks will come, or the intensity of it will increase. And in order to avoid the intensity of spiritual attacks, we compromise what we actually recognize the Lord desires of us. So we fail to live as God desires of us. We fail to do what God wants us to do because we are afraid of spiritual attacks. No, we need to be careful that we must not compromise our walk with God because of fear of spiritual attacks, because we want to avoid spiritual attacks. And as a result, we fail to live and do as God desires of us. But it is feasible to minimize unnecessary spiritual attacks and suffering. And that we should do. We should minimize unnecessary spiritual attacks and suffering. How do we go about it? How can we minimize spiritual attacks and suffering? Is there such a thing? Yes. For example, because of ignorance of the wiles and attacks of the evil one, that we suffer unnecessarily. Had we been aware, take our stand to counter the attacks of the forces of darkness in the specific areas, then the attacks will not be so intense, or we will not suffer the adverse effects the way we would have had we not taken the stand. And so we suffer unnecessarily. Or there's failure, there's wrongdoing on our part that renders us unnecessarily vulnerable to its attacks. So when there's sin, there's wrongdoing, then we become unnecessarily vulnerable. I say unnecessarily because we can look into, take steps to remove the deficiencies. We can be prayerful and careful to refrain from the wrongdoing that renders us unnecessarily vulnerable. Another aspect is to become involved in, to place ourselves in context that is not the Lord's will for us, to be in. This can include circumstances that are not helpful for believers to be in, participating in activities that are not helpful, that the Lord doesn't want us to be involved in various worldly activities. But it can also include trying to help others and being involved in spiritual warfare that we are not ready for, that it is not the Lord's will for us to participate in that way at that stage of our development. And as a result, we are suffering from spiritual attacks which we may not be ready for and not the Lord's will for us to be involved in that way. The 10th point, the forces of darkness want to attack us on all areas of life. Basically, they are opposing the fulfillment of God's purposes. And so, they want to attack believers in any way they can. And also oppose the advancement of God's kingdom in all ways they can. The point here is they want to attack in all areas. That's what they want. And in any way they can hinder or destroy believers in kingdom building. But we need to qualify this with the next point. On the one hand, point number 11, all aspects of our lives can come under attack. Yes, any area can come under attack, but the forces of darkness are limited beings. God is omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. He's infinitely powerful. But the forces of darkness are not. They are created beings. They are limited beings. And what they want to do, they are limited by what God allows. And also their limited power and ability. They are also limited by moral spiritual principles involved. So for example, the way they can attack someone who is living a sinful life and one who is living a relatively meaningful life in obedience to God, they do not have the same kind of freedom to work. And what we are involved in and not involved in, it will also have a bearing on their freedom to work in our lives, our approach to life. We can approach life in a way that facilitates God's working. We can approach life in a way that renders us unnecessarily vulnerable to the forces of darkness. There are moral, spiritual principles involved. The forces of darkness cannot do as they please. All of us would have been destroyed if the forces of darkness can do as they please. Our lives will be devastated because that's what they want to do. But they cannot do as they please. Next point, 12. We need to learn to be discerning and know the wiles of the evil one, including how they operate. As we go through life, we need to prayerfully ask the Lord to help us to understand, to see, to recognize, to learn how the forces of darkness work, how they operate, and also how to counter them. And learning how to resist, how to overcome the attacks of the forces of darkness in the name of the Lord Jesus and the basis of the victory of the Lord Jesus at the cross. For example, we will have to learn that it's not just mentioning the name of the Lord Jesus we will be able to overcome. The meaning in our hearts, the quality of our inner man, and also the way we exercise faith in God and the truth that He has revealed in the Scriptures. All these are very relevant and important. And a true reliance on the victory of the cross and not confident in ourselves in any way. And even reliance on the words that we are proclaiming the victory of the cross. But a true reliance on God and what was accomplished at the cross. And reliance on the ministry of the Holy Spirit Point 13. Do not assume all pain, suffering, and difficulties are directly the result of attacks by the evil one. Even as we become more conscious of the attacks of the forces of darkness, we need to bear in mind, not all pain and suffering and difficulties are directly the result of the forces of darkness. As mentioned earlier, in an earlier point, we can over-attribute what is taking place to the forces of darkness attacking us. We need to bear in mind that pain and suffering can take place because of other factors, other issues. We are living in a fallen world. And in this fallen world, there will be all kinds of difficulties that we do encounter, incurring natural calamities, floods, famines, earthquakes, and so on. And also the conduct of fallen men. Fallen men, their conduct can cause us much grief and pain. And likewise, ourselves. We may also do various things that result in unnecessary difficulties, pain, and so on. And we can also inflict pain on others. Others can also inflict pain on us. So all these various aspects can contribute to the difficulties and suffering that believers go through, that human beings go through. But we also need to bear in mind that the forces of darkness will often try to take advantage of such situations and aggravate the difficulties. There may be a natural dimension to it, but they will try all they can to take advantage of it and aggravate the nature of the difficulties we are encountering and facing. And when we learn how to take our stand and counter the works of the forces of darkness in that situation, it will make a difference to what we go through. Next point, we need to be constantly sober and alert. Not only in unusual circumstances, all the time, we need to be sober and alert. The Apostle Peter exhorts us to be sober and alert, and he warns us that the evil one prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. It is a helpful pictorial description of how evil one works. He's prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. He wants to devour us. He wants to hurt us. He wants to attack us. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 to 9. Peter wrote, "Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert." And this is meant to be all the time, not only sometimes. But yes, in some situations, we need to be even more alert, because we know in such situations, the forces of darkness are even more actively at work. But all the time, we need to be sober, to be on the alert, and to know that the adversary, the devil, the scriptures describe the devil as the evil one, the adversary, opposing God's work, opposing God's children. Your adversary, the devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But Peter didn't stop there. He says in verse 9, "But resist him, firm in your faith." So we need to reject, to resist the attacks of the evil one and the forces of darkness. And firm in your faith. Not just words, profession of lips that we trust God, but in our hearts. When we proclaim the truth in the scriptures, we proclaim the victory of the cross, we must do so in faith. And not to be shaken in our understanding of scriptural truths and revelation in the midst of spiritual attacks, especially when the attacks are intense. Peter elaborates, "Knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world." So when we undergo spiritual attacks, it's helpful to recognize that it is not strange. We are not the only ones. All over the world, believers are encountering spiritual opposition and attacks by the evil one and the forces of darkness. The Apostle Paul also tells us that Satan can disguise himself as an angel of light. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. This tells us that even in contexts where we have spiritual experiences that appear to be positive, we must not quickly conclude that it's of the Lord or is the work of angels. It can be the forces of darkness. It can be the evil one disguising himself as an angel of light. And in fact, this is a very powerful, effective way the evil one attacks us. Deceiving believers into thinking God is at work when it's actually the evil one at work. But it's God speaking to us, communicating to us when it's actually the evil one and the forces of darkness at work, deceiving us, influencing us. And if we are not careful, we receive the so-called, what we think is guidance from the Lord is actually from the forces of darkness. We can actually enter into a relationship with the forces of darkness and enter into serious bondage. And they can begin to guide us, so-called guide us, influence us to do all kinds of things. I do not intend to elaborate on this issue here. But this is a very dangerous form of attack. The evil one disguising himself as an angel of light and even impersonating God as if God is at work and God is speaking to us when actually the source is from the evil one, from the forces of darkness. The fifth point is important, very important, safeguard against attacks of the forces of darkness, detrimental effects on our lives, and also to be effective in our walk with God and the advancement of God's kingdom, purity of heart and life. In earlier sharing, I've gone into some detail with you on the subject of pure in heart. Purity of heart and life. The heart is washed, cleansed, and our motivation is pure. Our life consecrated to God. This is very important. And always maintaining a repentant, contrite spirit. So at any time there's any wrongdoing, we quickly recognize them, repent of them, correct ourselves, ask the Lord to forgive us, wash us, and then carry on with our life. It's a principle of not giving ground to the evil one, not giving the evil one unnecessary opportunities to attack us through wrongdoing, through sin, through deception, acting on deception from the forces of darkness and the truth in the scriptures becoming distorted. And as a result, we are living and responding in the way the evil one desires of us rather than what God desires of us. Is moving away from a heart of devotion to God and a life consecrated to God, but moving from walking in the light to walking in darkness because we've been deceived by the evil one. Or the longings of our heart are impure and we do not deal with it. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 27, do not give the devil an opportunity. In the margin of the New American Standard Bible, it says literally a place. Do not give a place to the evil one in your heart so that he can work. And do not give him any opportunity to work. Give him ground to work. Paul also tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 10 to 18, to put on the full armor of God. I do not intend to elaborate here on the full armor of God. I have covered this in greater detail in other messages. I go on now to the next related point. Point 16. And this is an important posture that we need to maintain at all times. It's a basic, to affirm a basic posture in our heart and mind. In our heart, as well as in our mind, we affirm this posture. It's important at a point of time in our life that there's a definite affirmation in our heart and mind of consecration and submission to God. And from time to time, we affirm this posture, this consecration and submission to God. And together with that, at the same time, we then also, in our posture, affirm that we resist and we reject all the works and all the influences from the forces of darkness. As a general stand, and also in relation to specific issues that we are concerned about in the particular context that we are in. When we do that, when we take this basic posture and stand, there it will facilitate the freedom of God to work in our lives. We are submitting to God. We are inviting God to work in our lives and through our lives. At the same time, if we affirm and take this stand properly, it will hinder the forces of darkness from working in our hearts and in our lives, because we are taking our stand to reject His working. We are resisting His working. And that is the way God has created us. It's part of the totality of the moral spiritual principles that God has ordained. Whether we are choosing to open our hearts to God for Him to work in and through our lives, or we are opening our hearts to the forces of darkness and allowing Him to work. This can be our succumbing to His temptations, or it can be through deception. So James tells us, chapter 4, verse 7, in the book of James, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So as I mentioned, it's important, a general affirmation of submission to God, and resisting, rejecting the works of the forces of darkness, and also on specific occasions, it's helpful also to affirm in a situation when we are going through spiritual attacks, in the midst of spiritual warfare, to affirm this stand, and also to address, take this stand with regard to specific issues, even attacking our health, our body, our mind, our spirit, attacking our family, whatever it may be, to take the stand, to reject their working, their influences, even as we affirm our submission to God and praying to God to undertake in the situation. And this stand is also relevant and very helpful in contexts where at times we are not clear. So in situations, for example, as I mentioned earlier, the forces of darkness can work in ways that are not very obvious to us, and we may not be sure whether it's a natural cause or is it the forces of darkness at work. And sometimes they may pretend to be God at work in our hearts or in the situation, guiding us to take specific courses of action, to approach life in a certain way, but we are not sure. We can take this stand that in our hearts, we are only open to God at work, submitting to God, but we are resisting, we are rejecting all the works and all the influences that come from the forces of darkness. And when we are not sure of a spiritual activity, a spiritual experience, whether it's of God or not, we do not just receive it. It is very dangerous to do that. Because it is from the forces of darkness, we can end in spiritual difficulties. And it can at times become very problematic. So we take this stand that we only open our hearts to God, we reject the forces of darkness at work, but only in context where we are clear that it's God at work, then yes, we receive God at work, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But truths that are clear in the scriptures, yes, we affirm our faith in them, we work on them, we act on them. But even the areas of doctrine and so on, the evil one can distort the truth, can deceive us, and if we are not sure, then we must not receive it and act on it. Truths, when we read in the scriptures, the evil will also try to influence us into wrong interpretation, and this can become very serious. So if we are not clear that that is what the scripture teaches, then we need to be slow to conclude and let it become a doctrine in our lives that we submit to. I've mentioned earlier about natural causes, and this context may be helpful for me to elaborate a little more. that as you go through life, we need to bear in mind the natural causes and aspects, and also the appropriate steps that we ought to take, and not just say, I'm submitting myself to God, I'm rejecting all the works of the forces of darkness, and that's it. For example, health. We may suffer from ill health. Yes, there may be natural causes, may fall sick, but the evil one is also seeking to take advantage of it, to attack us in that area, to magnify the sickness. But we also need to understand that there are appropriate steps that we need to take. For example, appropriate steps to look after our health. But of course, not to be over-conscious of this area such that we are preoccupied with it, and as a result, our concentration is not on what God wants us to pay more attention to in our walk with Him, in our service to Him. But there's an appropriate place for us to take steps to look after our health. Likewise, safety. Yes, we are careful. The way we drive, the way we walk, and so on. So we not go to places and do things that are unnecessarily dangerous. The evil can then attack us. And as a result, we can suffer injury, or we can fall sick, and we can even become very sick. So there are appropriate steps that we need to take, and we need to take them. Likewise, in our desire to grow spiritually, spiritual development, there are appropriate steps we need to take. Our time with the Lord, the reading, absorption of the truth and scriptures, learning from the Lord in daily lives and so on, prayer life, our fellowship with the brethren, working out together with those who love the Lord. There are various steps that are needful to take, that God wants us to take, what He has revealed in the scriptures. And not just say, God, I want to grow spiritually. Help me to grow spiritually. But we are not taking the appropriate steps. And then various hindrances, attacks that you want that hinders our spiritual development. But we are not taking steps that are needful to grow strong in the Lord. And then we say we are not growing well. And we blame everything on the evil one. So be careful. Do not merely blame everything on the forces of darkness when things are not going on well. When in reality we have failed to take the appropriate steps. We have failed to respond appropriately. Whether it be because to our health, or spiritual health, or physical health, or in the outworking together with the brethren, our fellowship with the brethren. So the evil wants to attack the area of fellowship, so that we can have significant difficulties in fellowship, misunderstandings, and so on. But are we looking for to learn how not to be taken advantage of by the evil in this area and to reject his influences, the thoughts he may place in our minds, how we interpret the words, the conduct of the brethren? Are we taking appropriate steps to minimize unnecessary difficulties? Point number 17. What appears to be may not be the reality. Especially what is taking place in the spiritual realm, we need to bear in mind this. And it's not always easy to understand what is taking place in the spiritual realm. I mentioned earlier about the works of the forces of darkness, not to confuse that with God at work. And at times we can be not very sure. And what appears to be God at work may not be. But this issue of what appears to be may not be the reality can take place in many different forms. And we need to be slow to conclude what is taking place in the spiritual realm. For example, in our walk with God, in the midst of spiritual warfare, if we are not careful, we can become unnecessarily discouraged because we think we are being defeated by the forces of darkness. What we are going through, we are suffering, and things do not seem to be making good progress, and the spiritual pressures continues. In fact, sometimes as we take our stand, it can even appear to be more intense, and it seems to be getting worse. And if you're not careful, we may conclude that yes, it's getting worse, it's not good. The approach is wrong. But it may not be so. We may actually be taking the right steps, and the forces of darkness are not happy, and so they may be even approaching the last stand before they let go. And so they may be attacking very intensely. And if we are deceived and we let go, we no longer continue to persevere in the spiritual warfare, to trust God, and to seek to overcome the forces of darkness at work in the situation, then we may actually lose the battle. The supreme example of what appears to be and the actual reality of what is taking place in the spiritual realm is in the life of Lord Jesus himself, his ministry, and supremely manifested at the cross. I cover this in great detail in the messages on what took place at the cross. While the Lord Jesus was hanging on the cross, he appears to be totally defeated. And his ministry also appears to be a total failure. Hanging there on the cross, his 3 years of ministry, he seems to be alone there, defeated, helpless. And the forces of darkness seems to be overcoming the Lord Jesus tremendously effective in their victory over the Lord. But in reality, what took place at the cross was the most significant, decisive victory over the evil one and the forces of darkness, and the culmination of the ministry of the Lord Jesus. And it lays the foundation for the advancement of God's kingdom. That was what was taking place at the cross. But it may not appear to be that way. Likewise, on the other side of the picture is what appears to be significant manifestations of God's power in overcoming the forces of darkness may not be so. And believers can also be deceived. The forces of darkness may be deceiving believers into taking an approach to spiritual warfare that is not helpful, that actually draws them into spiritual difficulties and bondage, but there may appear to be significant manifestations of God's power overcoming the forces of darkness in that situation, but it is not so. And so believers get attracted by that kind of approach, and as a result, they enter into spiritual deception and spiritual difficulties and bondage that is not necessary, not the will of God. They render themselves unnecessarily vulnerable to the forces of darkness at work. Point 18, we must humbly recognize our limitations. Even as we continue to grow in the Lord, and sometimes we learn a few things here and there, we may think we know a lot. We have experienced something of spiritual power, and we think that we know a lot. We must humbly recognize our limitations, however much we may have learned and grown. How much more so when what we have learned is actually a little bit? Or even we are learning the wrong things and we think that we know a lot. It's very dangerous. Humbly recognize our limitations and know that there is a lot to learn in the spiritual realm. To use the words of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 2 verse 16, and who is adequate for these things? Our walk with the Lord, to live an overcoming life, to overcome in spiritual warfare, to understand realities in the spiritual realm, to live well. Who can live well? Who is adequate to live such an overcoming life? Who is adequate for these things? The answer actually is none of us is adequate for these things. It's a rhetorical question. It's meant to help us to recognize our limitations. We cannot live an overcoming life on our own. And especially in the midst of the intensity and complexity of spiritual attacks, we may have a strong sense of our inadequacy. And in one sense, it's correct. We need to know that we are inadequate. But at the same time, it is important that we recognize we need not be fearful. We need not be pessimistic, whatever the circumstances, however difficult the situations. Again, the words of the Apostle Paul, our adequacy is from God. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 5, we must be confident in God, that God's provisions for us are adequate, more than adequate. His provisions for us in Christ. It is feasible for us to overcome in the Lord Jesus Christ, whatever the situation, whatever the context. We can overcome in Christ and in the power and guidance of the Holy Spirit. Point number 19. It is feasible for us to regulate the intensity and degree of personal involvement in spiritual warfare, and important for us to do so. I think perhaps I should stop here. I still have a bit more to cover, and I think this sharing is maybe sufficiently long for today. Perhaps I'll continue my next sharing on this subject, although initially I intended to complete my sharing on kingdom building and spiritual warfare in this sharing. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you will help each one of us and together in church life to learn and to grow well and to establish a strong foundation in the Lord and the truths that you revealed in the scriptures, and contribute our part in the advancement of God's kingdom as you desire of us. Learning to do so in the context of overcoming spiritual opposition and the attacks of the forces of darkness. We affirm our faith in you, our commitment to you, at a personal level and together in church life. We ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.